Okay, welcome to the second act. AI, are you using it or not? Because guess what? No matter if you are a solopreneur, micro business, which is a solopreneur as well, or a very large corporation, you know what? You should be using it. However, I know that most of the women within our group are solopreneurs or micro businesses. Regardless, we are here with Angela Green, who is going to share with us hacks on how it is you can use it for increasing your productivity, using it for project management and all sorts of things. And if you have not opened up ChatGPT or Menjai or any of those, woo, you need to. As a marketer and a public relations specialist, I started using it to write some of my content. Heck, I have to tell you, ChatGPT literally wrote out my entire podcast content plan for the entire year. Can you believe that? You're going to learn so much from Angela Green in today's episode of AI Hacks for the Small Business Owner. Then at 9:45, we're talking menopause. Yes, we are. We are going to talk menopause with the woman who's responsible, by the way, for my 17.2 pound weight loss, considering I gained weight on menopause. And there are breaking news. Well, no, I'm going to share with you how many symptoms there are to menopause that we didn't know about. So at 9:45, we're talking menopause. Come with your questions. Come with your questions about Ozempic, compounds, those compounded drugs that some of you are using, the Mounjaros. Come with questions about menopause, because even at 57, I'm just learning more. So here we go. Let's welcome to the stage Angela. Hello. How are you today, Angela?
Great. So glad to be with you.
So glad to have you here. I first want to talk to you about, first of all, thank you for also taking part in our big conference happening April 26th and 27th in Denver, Colorado, which is next week, to teach our ladies in a one-hour session about AI. Before we jump into it, how the heck did you get into this? Before I do a full-on introduction,
like lots of our careers, I feel like AI found me. I've been for more than a decade and a half driving digital transformation as a VP of sales and marketing and chief brand and revenue officer for mid-sized businesses, and so building out all of that website, chat, at marketing automation, and really saw in my last digital transformation at the YMCA of Metro Denver, where we were bringing donor experience and childcare family experience and member experience all together with all of our insurance reimbursed programs for older adults and diabetes prevention and things like that, really saw how all these internal marketing teams I've built over the years, those roles are going to completely change with AI. And the way we do this work is changing. And so I think what got me most ignited about going back to school and getting my Scrum product owner and taking an AI postgraduate course and really understanding what it was going to mean for business leaders was really recognizing how much the search environment was going to change. We're so focused on search engine marketing and social media marketing, and we're already seeing significant changes in that. So I know we'll talk about that later on. But that was really what ignited me. So I've always been that person pushing the envelope on technology from a marketing and sales perspective in my organizations. And I was so excited about how AI makes building out APIs a little bit less important because those native integrations exist more quickly. I don't need the data analyst anymore to really dig deep into my data. I can do it myself with AI. So those were some of the things that got me really excited about going back to school.
Well, and you've grown companies in what you've been doing over the last 11 years as being a VP and in C-suite roles, I should say. You've grown companies from $20 to $120 million in annual revenue with what you're doing and what you have done and still doing. And I love this. You are actually not stopping on your education of AI. You are actually pursuing from the University of Texas McCombs School of Business an AI, a postgraduate AI certificate for business leaders. This is fantastic. And first of all, what I like to say is hello. As I was saying before we jumped on, this is proof that women over 40, 50, 60 plus are into tech. So let's debunk the fact that we don't know tech. We don't want to learn tech. We are in it. I personally love tech. I studied it from college, from high school all the way up. I studied it because I've always loved tech. And so I just always like to debunk that stereotype that women in particular don't understand or don't know technology. And if you Google the term, we are what's called digital migrants. That's right. Gen Xers and boomers are digital migrants. Right, Angela?
Absolutely. And you don't have to go back to school for it. So much of what I learn is popping into a 5-minute YouTube video on a new technology that came out, or listening to the Marketing Intelligence for AI podcast while I'm driving somewhere. My workouts are filled with AI because that's when I consume a lot of my podcasts. So I think that's one of the really exciting things in this environment is that learning is available in these little snippets in so many places that that anybody who has an appetite to learn about AI can do it.
Yeah. And the thing is, so I think what has some people scared about AI and potentially not using AI for various reasons. One of the things is it's going to take over the world and it's not good. It's going to be, it's an evil thing that perhaps we shouldn't be using, or, and feeding it more information because it will take over the world. You know, we're talking iRobots, the movie. But in actuality, your proof in what you do and continue to do, AI, is tapping into all areas of industries and helping. Share with us more about why we should actually come to appreciate this new technology.
Well, I think as solopreneurs and micro businesses and small businesses especially, it really creates this amazing opportunity to leap ahead. You know, I just like the advent of the printing press and this pen that I'm holding and your keyboard and, Outlook email, AI is going to be a huge sea change in employment, but it's really about how we take advantage of that retraining and leap onto those technologies early. It really provides an opportunity to leap ahead for sure.
Retraining. Yes. Okay. That I like that. And then how, when it comes to companies using it, you have said that the productivity and efficiencies can go up by 10 to 20%, depending. Is that correct?
Oh, and even more. You know, I think back to a customer journey build that I did back in December and January, and we cut our data analysis time by 75%. So I think it really is about what in your ecosystem can we do to gain efficiency and productivity. And just one example for small businesses of that I think we're really going to see grow through the rest of 2024 and into 2025 is how we tap agents. So a lot of us think of this as your chatbot on your website, right? If you already have a chatbot on your website, you can see that people are using that more and more often. 80% of customers in the US now say that they would rather self-serve their customer service needs than talk to a real person. And so if you're not already looking at agents for everything from capturing leads on your website at 11 o'clock when you're not online or you're not answering the phone to dealing with the basic customer service needs, you know, whether that is resetting passwords on your site or it's inviting people to participate in an upcoming virtual event that you're offering, those agent opportunities I'm really seeing make a huge difference. And less of a time-saving difference for the small businesses I work with and more increase in productivity. So with the same staff, they're able to touch 20, 30, 40% more of their customers with automations like that and some of the other marketing automations we put in place with AI.
So that is also potentially saving you money if you're able to have those kinds of,
absolutely,
right? Because as you said, that's 24/7 of gathering leads and resources and the information we need to. Yes, I love that. Now, when you're talking about data analysis, which doesn't matter what size company, you have got to understand and appreciate data and appreciate how to read it. but also how to, what sorts of prompts and questions and how to use it. Can you give us an idea of how small business owners can use it for data analysis, literally giving us an idea, drawing up in our minds an idea of how you use it and what platforms are you talking about that can draw analyses for marketing data or sales or whatever it may be?
Absolutely. You know, and there are three examples I'll mention here, but there are thousands of them. And the first thing I will say is when I go into small businesses and do initial assessment with them for AI implementation, most often what I find is we've got opportunities to be collecting more data, right? So if you're not tracking in your customer database, the pages people visit on your website, when they go to your social media, those are things that we help them start tracking, because as you build out that information, then you are able to build great customized personal journeys for, you know, that soccer mom versus the teenager who might be taking advantage of wellness services, for example. So I think looking at what we track is so important. And that is a great use of AI that I probably won't spend a lot of time on right now, but something that I talk with companies about constantly is how we're tracking it. Once you are tracking it, you know, the quick and dirty, simple way, but you might be giving away your data, is if you're, you can upload a spreadsheet into ChatGPT. And as a paid member, you can do that. It's multimodal. So if you've got that $20 a month subscription for an individual, you can upload video, you can upload code, you can upload an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet, and you can ask ChatGPT to clean up your data for you. You can ask it to reorganize your data. But then there are some better tools too. And you can question it as well. For a lot of clients, I'm helping them or their database, whether it's Zoho, to use AI just to build quick dashboards. So I think that's an exciting transition we're seeing in 2024, is a lot of the softwares that you're used to using on a regular basis, if you're already a Go High Level or Salesforce or HubSpot user, you're seeing AI tools added onto those that help you query your information without taking it somewhere else, which is a great use for small businesses, and a great way to make that data available to people who maybe aren't in the customer database every single day, but you can push that out.
And I have a question about that, because a lot of us are using tools like MailChimp and Constant Contact and even Eventbrite to gather the information that we then turn around and use as part of our sales funnels. So what exactly are you saying? Are you saying that when it comes to data and tracking, I should say tracking customers and getting that customer analysis, does Constant Contact and Zoho and all of those, do they already have AI built into the platforms? Or are you saying you take that information that you've gathered from Constant Contact about your customer, and then you're putting it into Chat, or you're putting it into Manjai, or you said thousands of others are out there? So can you wrap our heads around what? Yes.
Yeah. So with some of the tools you mentioned, they don't have AI add-ons yet. And I can't speak specifically to Constant Contact because I haven't been in that one recently. It depends on, you know, I always help an organization look at their ecosystem. So any AI, and what I find most often is there is AI within your tools that you're not using to its full capacity. Certainly, if you use any Microsoft products, that Copilot tool, anything that you pull into a spreadsheet can help you query your data. So I always, especially with smaller businesses, because I'm a small business owner myself, I'm helping them not add subscriptions that they don't need, but really fully utilize their tools. But there are some things that some additional tools really help with. So DeepNote is one tool that I use that is awesome for data analysis, because with 6 to 8 hours in someone's really deep data, you know, you've got 40,000 customer records, I can do all their exploratory data analytics, really see the trends in their customers, build out initial predictive models with their customer journey. So we're really treating customers as they want to be treated, not having a mass approach to all of them. So probably from Constant Contact or MailChimp, it is going to require pulling that data out and using a different tool. And some of those require subscriptions. But I think it's really important to think about, if you're not paying for something, you or your data is the product, that's being sold, right?
Wow.
So certainly as we talk about training large language learning models, we're hearing lots about having not only consideration for your customers' data privacy, and I know we'll talk more about this later, but also, are you giving away your company's secret sauce? So as small businesses, we are always watching our subscriptions, but it's really important to think about what is the privacy of that data? Because if you do pull your data out of MailChimp and dump it all into free chat GPT, that's training the model and could then be accessible to folks in the future. Oh. So there's constant balancing act to really consider how do we manage our customers' expectation of data privacy, our desire to protect our secret sauce as a company, and also really be able to leverage that data to build out really valuable future messaging and conversion strategies for our customers.
So that right there is extremely important. That goes back to what I was saying at the very top, that people are concerned about maybe feeding too much information. And I've been told even not to put your personal information into any of the platforms. I'm not quite sure what they would do with it yet, but obviously there is a way of chat using it. So that is actually very important for us to know, especially those of us that are doing it all. We're the administrators, we're the CEOs of our companies, we're the marketers, we're doing it all. We're the content creators. So very important for those of you that are listening and watching, not to export your customers' data for now, or maybe you can give us some of the ones that we can, but not to violate their privacy in a sense by exporting, right? Their customer information that we've gathered where they've signed, you know, a document inside of Constant Contact or Zoho, right? So is that what I'm hearing from you?
Absolutely. And even if you have the paid ChatGPT or Perplexity model, you are still, if you don't have an interface that is de-identifying your data, so taking out, you know, individual customer names, any PII or HIPAA compliant information, if you need to be a HIPAA compliant organization, certainly for financial institutions, you know, they're very hesitant to move forward with AI because of these concerns about making customer data public. There's a lot of data out there on all of us already. So, you know, I kind of, when I'm working with companies, I help them think about, and this isn't really so much about personal data, I'll come back to that, but anything that is already on your website, your blog, your social media channels, like feed that into a free model all day long. Especially if you're a brand new company, because ChatGPT was trained on data a year ago. So you might want to upload your blogs and and your
just
your
to content. Update the data.
Anything that's behind that wall, that's proprietary data, your annual business plan, your marketing strategy, certainly any customer data, those are things we've got to be really thoughtful with. So large companies, you know, they're using things like Salesforce offers an interface that de-identifies. For small companies, as we're building out chat tools and things like that for them, that's a consideration that we look at on how do we effectively accomplish that. If you're a solopreneur and you really want to, let's say, get a great idea of where your customers are coming from and where your prospects are coming from and how they're converting based on location, just strip individual names and email addresses out of that data, and you can still load in, you know, addresses and zip codes and look at it that way without providing people's personal information. But if you are an organization that is governed by any kind of financial compliance or HIPAA compliance or PII compliance, or if you do business in Europe, really, really important that you're taking a thoughtful approach and building out an AI use policy that really lays that out for any team members or contractors who might be doing work for you in the future.
Well, saying all of this, what sort of platforms do you... Okay, two questions. What platforms do you think that small businesses should use? Which one or two platforms should they use? And when they use it, and maybe this question that I'm about to ask should be the first question is, what's the most important usage for a solopreneur? What is that platform?
Yeah, I think the most important usage, it depends, right? I try to help. I think it's really sexy for us to look at things like Midjourney that creates like beautiful graphics. You know, if your primary business is graphic design and you've got good transparency with your customers, that may be your most important news. But if you're a leaf blowing company and a lawn company that deals with 150 customer calls a day and you're scheduling people, it may be your auto scheduling tool that is the most important for you. If you're someone who builds your business on virtual events, it's going to be something like Goldcast or a tool like that that's going to help you capture more traffic for your event. So I think it really depends on your business. There are some principles though to bring to bear in thinking about that. And that is, where do you have a team member spending at least 15% of their time every single day? Or where are you as the solopreneur spending 15% of your time? If it's content development, then developing a great content development tool like Jasper that has all your brand messaging and your voice really nailed in may make sense. And what are the things that are rule-driven, repetitive? If you could do more of them, would allow you to be way more productive. So if I could do 30% more of this, how fast could my business grow? So those are the kinds of questions that we help organizations ask. And we actually do some time studies with them when we get started in order to really look at, because what I found, we didn't do time studies when we first started this implementation coaching back in November of last year. And what people perceive they're spending a lot of time on and where they actually spend their time are often two different things.
Oh, I bet.
But you asked about tools. You asked about tools. And I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're just getting started and you talked about, you know, how you're using AI to help you develop content. I think if you're just getting started, one of the places and one of my favorite tools, one of the places AI can be most valuable for you is research. And I love Perplexity for that because I was a journalist in my first career. So if your mom tells you she loves you, you check it out. And what I love about Perplexity is that it always sources the data that it sources. You know, we've heard a lot about hallucinations, and I could go into the technology of how language learning models are built that cause hallucinations. It's more approximations than hallucinations, really. And I think with a lot of the technology advances by the end of 2024, we will see very few of those. But Perplexity and Claude really have the best ratings right now in being accurate.
Angela, are you saying Perplexity? Perplexity with the P as in Paul?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's perplexity.ai.
Got it.
In fact, okay. I think I have Perplexity open. I'll just put it in our, can I put it in our comments and people will see it?
Yes. Yes, please.
Great.
Do.
We'll do.
Yes,
that.
Absolutely.
It is one of the always open on my screen. Let's see. Oh, I have to take an extra step to put it in the chat. So I'll put it in your chat.
Oh, okay. Okay. No worries. Do you want to put it in private chat to me and I'll pop it into comments?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You can add it into the comments.
I got it. Can you
what I love about Perplexity, and I think what we overlook in content development, and we'll talk more about how search is changing, but so we are, especially if you're doing written content, blog, social media posts, all of the providers out there, whether you're talking about Google Analytics or Bing Search Console or Facebook or LinkedIn, now are rating content based on AI produced versus authentic and organic, right? So probably using it for your writing is not the most advantageous to you. And if you're producing writing for customers, it's really important that you're disclosing to them that that's AI written content, not only because you don't own the copyright to it, nor do they, but also because it's not going to rank as well when you're doing traditional search strategies, which are going to change a lot over the coming months and years. But so there's that piece, right? But where it really can be helpful, and this is why I love Perplexity, is in doing that initial research to see what are your competitors writing about? What are the questions people are asking in search most often? So if you go into Google search, you know, you'll see additional questions suggested. Those are great things to build content around. Perplexity does the same thing for you, and it gives you resources linked to those questions. So you can see what other content is out there. So it really does help in sort of that initial, what are people searching for? And what are the keywords I need to be using? You know, if you're updating your keyword research, it also helps you look at what are other experts saying about this. So if you're looking for guests for your podcast or a collaborator for a presentation or something, great resource for those kinds of things. So it's a favorite tool of mine for any individual, you know, solopreneur or small business in the content development space.
Is that a paid platform? I'm assuming it is.
You can pay for it, but I'm actually still using the free version and get a lot of value out of it. And the free version will do code for you. It doesn't, I don't use it for images. It might do images, but I think it's really, I think of it as like the AI of LexisNexis, you know, it's,
So I have another question. So another question would be, or another point that you can expound on, I thought was really important, is AI written content. So I was talking to a couple of people a few weeks ago, and some of them were saying they now are noticing and can tell on LinkedIn what LinkedIn posts are written by AI versus them using their own. And when I opened up at the show, at the beginning of the show, and said that I am using AI for some of my content writing, I actually, as a marketer, understand though that I take that out and I put it in my own voice. And then I also put in keywords that are important to my messaging. So I think it's for me, it's a great shortcut to getting the work done, which normally would have taken hours for me to write even a content plan. It would have taken days, probably. But again, don't you think that's the most important thing? And if you are going to plagiarize, in a sense, and use it verbatim, I like that you said to make sure that you note that this is AI written content.
And not only for your customers, but your but search engines are tracking for that as well, and so are social media channels. So, and it's absolutely, you want to use it as a co-pilot, right? It should be your assistant. So whether you are starting your outline and you want to ask it, you know, pop that outline in there and ask it what's missing, or you've got your first draft and you stick it in there and say, what other questions are people asking about things like this? That's a great way to use AI. Also, if you're using it, just a couple like key basic prompt tips. And I feel like there are so many complicated prompt tips out there. I love what Google Gemini came out with this week. They said there are really four things. And now, since I don't have them written down in front of me, we'll see if I can remember them all. But if you're doing writing with one of these tools, you want to give it a point of view. So tell, you know, I'm writing for, a lawn care company, and I'm, you know, from the voice of the owner. So you always want to give it a perspective or a point of view. You want to tell it what format you want that outcome in. So, you know, do you want a grid? I'm very often, when I'm doing initial research, you know, saying, give me a grid that's got the company, the URL, their key features. I do this a lot with, I'm constantly doing AI product research, and boy, there are new tools coming out all the time. So give that, you know, what do you want that to be? Or do you want it? Some of them will do a Google Doc for you. They'll export a CSV or an Excel, so you can lay that format out. Of course, ask it the question that you want to ask. But very often when I'm doing a prompt, I'm starting with, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to ABCD, because I'm often, you know, don't do anything yet. Here's the point of view that I want you to write from. And then I'm providing some context, and maybe I'm providing, you know, an earlier, somebody's website content, which you can't just put in the URL. You have to copy in the copy. So there are word parsers you can use for that. Or maybe I'm putting in initial content that I've written or some initial research that I've done. So the more context you can provide, and it doesn't have to be a lengthy document, it might be a reference to three competitor companies, or it might be a reference to, here's the geography that I want you to look at. So that context piece is the fourth piece of that you want to consider.
And what is number four? I have point of view, format.
the actual question, like, what is it that you want to accomplish? So the point of view or persona, the actual question, the context around that question, you know, the why are you asking, or the what is the knowledge that the system should be relying on around that. And then what's the format that you want it laid out?
The format. Okay. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. And for those that might not understand what the term prompt is, although I'm sure they do, can you give a very brief explanation as to what a prompt is?
Yeah.
And why that is important to get that straight, and why it's important to get that, sure, that right, if you want the right outcome.
Mm-hmm. And the research that Gem and I just did said, this came out earlier this week, says the most successful prompts are an average of 21 words. Less successful prompts tend to be shorter, an average of 9 words. So don't feel like you're saying too much, but you don't have to write a paragraph. So what a prompt is, you know, and I think you think way back, those of us who are 40, 50, and 60, remember when search engines were brand new and you had to really be clear and you couldn't just ask a question in your search, right? But I think we've had this evolution of search where the kind of question you ask a search engine, where, you know, what's a great lash place near me, right? With great reviews. That might be something you ask your search engine. That's the same kind of thing. It's the question you're asking to your assistant. I love Paul Retzer, who is with Marketing AI Intelligence. And Paul says, talk to one of these language learning models like you would talk to a junior intern, someone who is brand new to the field, doesn't know your business. You've got to give them a fair bit of clarity in what your expected outcome is. So that's an easy way to think about prompting.
Okay. I love that. So let's tap into career professionals that are working for companies, and they are now allowed, or their companies have now integrated the use of whatever AI platform that they would be using. Again, depending, as you said, on the industry and the need and the want and the desired outcome. So let's, again, going back to productivity and working with teams, how are teams individually and teams working inside of companies with AI? How can a professional be using them?
So part of what I'm observing is, and Jen, love your comment. Prompts are key. Oh, how to save prompts. Yeah, that depends on your system. So can we jump back to the company thing in a second?
Let's go back to prompts. Okay. Tell us about prompts, a little bit more about prompts.
Yeah, so, you know, people talk about building their own ChatGPT. What that really is just building out additional instructions in the same prompt. So it's going back to that same prompt. And you can actually, if you're a paid member of ChatGPT, you can actually go in and build a GPT. And I've got one on building your AI use policy that I can, we can put in the show notes at the end that I'll get for you so that you can see how easy it is, because that one's not a complicated one. When it gets to really building out your voice, I recommend other tools besides ChatGPT, especially if you're using even that $20 paid version, because again, you're training the model on your voice and secret sauce. So this actually takes us into the tools I was just going to talk about for teams. And one of those is Team GPT. So really smaller businesses, a lot of businesses I'm seeing that are 3 to 30 employees are bringing in Team GPT, which is just a little bit more per month, depending on the number of users that you have. And then your team has the opportunity to start to have this shared knowledge base. Think like a really simplified SharePoint or knowledge base that you would use for a call center or a customer center. So those are, Team GPT is a great tool. And I'm sorry, there is actually a separate subscription called Team GPT, and it's great for building out all your documents in marketing. So if you want to use it for content develop, everything from starting that content strategy and the market research that you talked about, Barbara, all the way to project managing and delivering everything from video to YouTube to, I mean, just everything. It's a great tool for that if you're a marketing team. Jasper is another great tool for that, to keep your brand voice and use for content development. It's pretty written content focused. And so if you do a lot of video or multimedia, it may not be the best solution for you, but both of those are great tools. But back to really maintaining that voice, I think that that is a real advantage of these systems. And so you do have the ability to really go back to an existing prompt. And I'll do this a lot of times when I'm doing initial market research for an organization. And so I've looked at all their competitors within a prompt string, and I will go back and then feed maybe some of their blog content in, and then start to look at some additional keyword research for them. I might even feed in their existing keyword research. Again, how much of that do you want to put into an unpaid tool? That's the decision that you've got to make. You know, and I would suggest making a small investment of a few hundred dollars a month to keep that secret sauce protected is probably worth it. And that's where Jasper Team GPT can come in. Chat GPT for Teams, which I misspoke between those two a little bit earlier, is great across operations. So if you want your team to have that shared knowledge base for everything from customer service to their chat tool that you're using on the customer database, Chat GPT for Teams, and there are tons of tools out there like that. So Glean is a great tool that's chat focused, that's both for customer service. I'm really seeing a lot of smaller businesses that maybe don't have a learning management system. So they're onboarding staff, they want them to ramp up quickly, especially in businesses that have fast hire and fast turnover, and they need those team members face-to-face with customers quickly, but they haven't made this huge investment in building out, you know, SCORM files and a learning management system. You can really start to use that knowledge base. And you have to data estate it right, which means, you know, people on the production team can see this, people on the customer service team can see this part, our customers can see this part, but everybody has access to that. So you've got to do that planning correctly. But to be able to use that not only for onboarding staff members, but for real-time training, if you've got an empathic chat bot that you've built out that you're using for your customers, and you, and then the tough customer service calls get escalated to some 25-year-old who is still building out their empathy knowledge and their ability to problem solve and manage conflict. Having that chat as a co-pilot to see how they've handled things can give that person some ideas on how to have the conversation. So those are just a few applications that we're seeing in that small and mid-sized business space that are cost effective.
There's something that that I'm recognizing as you're talking. First of all, there's a new term that I'm realizing is building out, is these are building out our voices. So investing in your own, you know, finger quotes, your own Chat GPT platform, really, as you said, which I didn't realize, is starting to understand your brand voice, your tonality, you know, all how your customers, you know, what you do. So that's interesting to know that there's actually that's sort of the term, is that these are building out our brand voice for our company. And then the other thing, and I love the word co-pilot, by the way, so I will be using that term. The other thing that I'm recognizing, and tell me if I'm wrong, am I hearing that some of these platforms are replacing Asana, Monday.com, ClickUp, or are they now integrating AI, which I'm sure they are, to now be so that they're not replaced by some by Jasper and by some of these other platforms?
Yeah, for project great question. Management. And I will admittedly say I've spent a little bit less time looking at AI for project management than some of the other tools that I look at. But what I'm seeing with almost every organization that I interact with, small or large, is the addition of an AI note taker that starts to fill sort of the project management light need, right? So whether you use Fireflies, which is a free one that I use, or Otter, or you're using Zoom's note taker, how great to come 5 minutes late to a meeting and you can see what's already been discussed and catch up and to have that note taker summarize your action items out of that. And I am seeing some companies integrate that action item component then into their project management. You know, the shortcoming of large language models like ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, is that they're not yet agents that act for you, right? So they're not specialized enough unless you do an additional build out to say, oh, now Barbara, your due date for the podcast outline is on Tuesday, and Angela, you need to have your responses on Thursday, and we're going to remind you, right? But there are specialized agents that can do that. So wow. I think we're in this really interesting space of this divergence of so much technology. Like every developer that I talk to has a dream for building something with AI, and they're building it. And so we've got, because we're not at artificial general intelligence that can act and do all these tasks for us, we're still using Zapier. You know, I use Zapier to take my mileage from my calendar and put it into a Google Sheet for me. But that's a specialized tool. We're using Glean to be specialized chat. We're using Jasper to have the specialized voice and then actually write for us. And so I think we've got this divergence of products right now. What I expect to see through 2024 and 2025 and six is a lot of consolidation. The winners will kind of start to rise to the top. And we're seeing this even with the large language models, right? Like Claude kind of was lousy in February. And now compared to ChatGPT, Claude is incredible. It's always accurate. Gemini has had like this tremendous growth. So right now, today, it is a lot of those specialized co-pilots. So I would encourage people to look at their Monday, Asana, Brightpod, whatever they're using for project management, and make sure they're taking advantage of all of those additional functions. Certainly, I am seeing if you're someone who lives in the Microsoft space, you can go from a Word document to a PowerPoint really quickly now. You can actually, even if you don't work in the Microsoft space, you can take your outline for a PowerPoint. I'll be doing this later today. And you can ask ChatGPT to kind of flush that out for you a little bit and then to put it into Visual Basic.
Wow.
And you can open the Visual Basic window back in PowerPoint and pop your PowerPoint in there. Now, it doesn't make it beautiful for you. It doesn't do the whole thing, but
it will
help you more
quickly. I'll just convert it to Canva. But
yes, you probably have a great AI way you're doing that with Canva. Canva has terrific AI tools. Talk about how you're using those, Barbara.
Well, you're just telling me something new. I actually didn't know that. I literally did not know that Canva has AI tools. I'm about to sit on, which I think most of the world who has gotten this notification inside of Canva, they're about to introduce new tools and talk about, I guess, what's happening inside of Canva in the next week or so. And I shared that with the insider members of Second Act Women so they could sit on that video call, because now you have me, now this weekend, I can't wait to dive in to find out about these AI tools.
Let me tell you what I'm using it for.
Please.
And coaching teams to use it for. And you probably are using it and you don't realize it. So, I mean, it's great I had a terrific like action shot of a bunch of kids, but one kid was laying down on the field and I wanted to use it in advertising, just went in and erased her out. I mean, you think about what effort that took with Adobe 5 years ago. It took like a real graphic designer who could spend like many minutes or hours on doing that kind of editing. Now it's less than 5 minutes and it's like 90% quality, right? So this is part of what we compromise with AI. It's not perfect, but it's gonna be fine for a social media post. Resizing ads for social media or resizing content posts, constantly using it for that. So you can resize the Canva subscription for AI is totally worth it. It will also help you write content. You've probably gathered today, I am still attached to doing my own writing. That's where I'm not as fast of an adopter. I will use it for editing and for giving me additional ideas. But the initial draft I still like to do on my own, kind of like you. But it'll do it for that. It can convert things from video to still and still to video for you. I mean, it's really, you can use it for bringing that audio and video together in more effective ways to time your presentations and your ads so that you know, the swipes between pictures are timing against the music. Just so many things. I mean, it's really made design so much easier. And Canva is not the only tool for that. That's making design easier.
This is amazing information. I cannot wait for you to share more in a 1 hour session next week, April 26th, 27th at bizlifecon.com. Happening here in Denver, Colorado. I'm reading all the Brenda here and another Facebook user here says, I use chat to give me template and ideas and thought suggestions and how people are saying this is the most informational that they've, you know, to learn they're learning the most about AI that they've learned before. I do want to just throw something out to this chat user or this user who says they use it for template ideas and font suggestions. Please, when it comes to fonts, continue to use your brand font though. You don't want to divert and you don't want to divert from your company brand. So make sure it's Erica. Okay, Erica. Yes. Make sure that you're still using your company font. So I wouldn't suggest it for that unless I would continue to use your brand fonts. But Angela, I want to say thank you. Next up, we're talking about menopause. But before you leave, again, you're 49. You're on the frontier. You've been on the frontier of AI, considering you've been studying this and doing work for your clients and in your profession for, you know, years before we even knew that this was going to be a thing. So considering that and life today, when we're talking AI, what would you tell your future self about life? Maybe is AI a part of your personal future life? And what would you say to us and your future self about life,
the world? I have college kids, so this feels particularly relevant because I'm talking with them. It's weird to know more than your college kids do about AI. I think it will permeate every part of our lives, just like carrying our cell phones does. So it doesn't scare me, right? I am kind of annoyed when I have my Apple Watch on and my texts come across and it interrupts whatever I'm present in. But I think you think about all the technology adoption we've gone through in our lifetime, even those of us on this that are younger, you know, think about all the things that we've adopted. And AI is going to fall in, but it is something, it's going to be a really fast change in our society. For people who adopt it, it can free you up to do more things like planning my upcoming trip to Paris with AI. You know, or getting a recipe online in the morning with AI. Recipes are so much better on AI, no ads. So I think try it for those things. You know, we all need to adapt and adopt, and those AI is not going to replace jobs. People who are willing to learn and adopt the AI tools and leverage them are going to replace people who don't. And so BizLifeCon is going to be super fun because we're going to bring our computers and laptops and tablets and get hands-on. So that'll be a great time if you're feeling a little anxious or scared, to be able to get in person and build some confidence.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. And I'm looking forward as a tech junkie to learn more about this and again, dive into Canva since you shared something new with me. And everyone. And I just thank you. Where can they find you, Angela, before we go on?
Thank you so much. So I do a newsletter on AI assisted marketing for B2B and small businesses, both on LinkedIn. So you can find RevOp AI on LinkedIn or go to RevOp.AI and join our newsletter there through the website. We'd love to talk with you more about how you want to use AI to grow your business.
Again, so appreciative of you, and I will be seeing you, all of us will be seeing you next week. Thank you so much, Angela. Have a great rest of your day. The show's not over. We're talking menopause, medical weight loss, Ozempic, Mounjaro, all of that. Hang tight, everyone. Grab a cup of coffee. Thank you, Angela. Have a great day. Woo! That was a lot. That was a lot of really great information. I hope those of you that are listening and watching have gained a lot of information. I hope that you are now have challenged yourself to dive deep into some of the platforms that she's listed. And if you want to, just start simple. ChatGPT for free, just start simple. But if you want to go further, I highly recommend, and I will put inside of the show notes, some of the other platforms that she has listed. So thanks to Angela, our AI expert within the Second Act Women community. This has just been a pleasure. Next up, we are talking about menopause. Yeah.